So what we're going to do, we just finished Chuseok, and my understanding is known as Korean Thanksgiving, right?
That's correct.
And we are getting ready for our Canadian friends. We have many, many different nationalities represented with Seoul Union Church, but our Canadian friends are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, I think, what, in a week or two? Okay, next week, 1 week, okay, so we'll be sure to come over to the pumpkin pie. And then in about 1 month, we'll have American Thanksgiving. I don't know, are there other nationalities that celebrate Thanksgiving? Any of you that are here from other countries, if you have a special designated Thanksgiving time, just go ahead and shout out what month it's in. Anyone else? All right, anyway, we're in this season where we're thinking Thanksgiving. When I started to kind of develop this, I thought, well, it's a little bit early for a Thanksgiving kind of a message. But then I thought, but wait, we're in Korea. We just celebrated Korean Thanksgiving, and we got our Canadian friends, and, and so we're going to have Canadian Thanksgiving. So then we've got American Thanksgiving coming up. So today is really, we're going to focus on Thanksgiving. And so the title of today's message is Family Thanksgivings. And I kind of struggled with that just for about a second, because I thought, well, wait, what if people are here and they don't have a family member with them? And that's okay, because we're all part of this family. But we all have family, maybe extended family that are miles apart. But we're part of this family, this local body of believers called Seoul Union Church. So we're going to talk about Family Thanksgiving. And later on in this message, we're going to talk about something just briefly that I might consider to call a social experiment. So today might be a little bit different, but I think we'll all understand as we move into this Thanksgiving season. If you were to open your Bibles to Colossians 3, starting in verse 15, that's what we're going to start with this morning. Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. This is what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Everybody say, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude, say gratitude, in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Amen. I want to start by saying thank you to those of you that have been so affirming. I knew that there were some struggling with some issues, and yet your comments and notes and emails about some of the things that we've discussed. I was gone last week. We missed you and missed being here, but I had no idea some were, as many were dealing with some of the things that we covered. And so I'm thankful that God is at work and directing what he desires for us here. And so I want to share my thanks for your communication about how God is speaking to you through the messages, and how you can't say it any clearer that, you know, when someone says, that was for me, that was just what I needed, and I appreciate you sharing those things. So, back in the 70s, a woman wrote an interesting article. She said that her cousin had invited them to, quote, come for Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday, March 20th. She wrote, she was not celebrating any early Thanksgiving. She was saying that all was well with her husband, who had finished a battery of hospital tests. In our family, she said, we sometimes have as many as 10 Thanksgivings in 1 year. They mark happy events for which there are no formal celebration dates. Maybe it's a job promotion, a graduate degree, a good medical report. Sometimes we celebrate with a dinner party, sometimes with a picnic or an outing, she said, but always with as many members of our clan as we can round up. 10 Thanksgivings a year. Can you imagine what that would do to your diet or your waistline? As Vonda said before service started, we need to start getting ready for all of these celebrations where we typically overeat. But 10 Thanksgivings a year. When I found that, I thought, wait, I must have misread that. So I went back and I read it again, and then it finally made sense. They weren't celebrating a national holiday. They weren't celebrating a major holiday on the calendar. They were celebrating things that they were thankful for. And they made it a part of their routine. And here in Colossians 3 and verse 17 specifically, which will be our key text, we're told that 10 Thanksgivings a year would not even be enough for believers in Christ. 10 Thanksgivings a year wouldn't even be enough. It wouldn't give us enough opportunity to share our thankfulness. If we've tried to follow Paul's advice, and he says again, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In whatever we do, every day of the year, in whatever we do, we should give thanks. We should be known, perhaps, as thankful people. Even Soul Union Church could be known as a thankful church. In fact, Colossians 2, verse 7, if you back up one chapter, declares this. It's so cool. It declares that we should be overflowing with thankfulness. Now, I understand the reality of the pains of life and how they press in on us. And I also understand how that impacts our countenance. We were talking during the kids' chat about joy, right? Those pressures, those pains, those struggles, which some of you we've talked about those things. And believe me, I keep those confidential. But I know how they weigh. It's hard, then, we say, in the reality of life, to be thankful, yes. But still, it says, we should be overflowing with thankfulness. A while back, we covered a series, and in that series, we talked about the very distinct difference there is between joy and inner peace, or that jumping heart, right? Who has it said that? Charlotte? That was awesome. There you go. That was awesome, right? I don't see your tiara today, Charlotte. You usually have a little tiara. But my heart is jumping kind of a thing, right? Very distinctly different than happiness. They're different. We're talking about just overflowing with thankfulness. And in Ephesians 5:20, we're told that we should be always giving thanks. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to do to encourage us today is, we have a series of three makes, so this is the first make. Make yourself known as a thankful person. Make yourself known as a thankful person. As Christians, as followers of Christ, how much more should this be one of our own characteristics of being a thankful person? Being a thankful person should be true of every aspect of our lives, in fact. Especially, it should be true in our homes and how we deal with our own families. A few years ago, Dr. Nick Stinnett of the University of Nebraska conducted a series of studies in an attempt to discover what characteristics were common in strong families. So I appreciate what Christian shared today about, you know, coming together and eating together. It's that togetherness. It's that coming together. And I believe in that, and that the value that's found in coming to the table together, eating together as a family, is important. So in this study, they looked into the characteristics that they found to be common in strong families. He and his research discovered 6 qualities. And the first quality, and one of the most important to be found in strong families, was that of appreciation. Appreciation. They concluded that families which were strong because family members expressed appreciation for what each member did and for who they were. I try to be very careful when I share appreciation, not to share the appreciation or thankfulness for what someone has done, but for who they are. I think that's so important, and that's something that we can do to help build strong relationships and even strong families. In a similar study, another researcher looked into the effect of praise in the workplace. His study showed that the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needed to be 4 to 1, 4 times higher. 4 times as much praise to criticism before employees felt that there was a balance. 4 times as much praise to criticism before the employee actually had a perceived sense of balance. 4 times as much praise as there was criticism before those employees felt good about their work and about the environment that they worked in. This tells us that people need to feel appreciated, even if they just hear those words. They need praise, and they need these things 4 times as often as they receive criticism. And then they start to feel as if there's a healthy environment both at their workplace and in their home. Our second make this morning, make thankfulness a basic reality. Make it part of your life. Make it a reality. In your home, do you practice thankfulness? Many families don't understand this basic reality, the research has shown. I recently read about a man who always teased his wife about her lack of interest in household chores. I thought that was an interesting way that he put it. One day he came home with a gagged gift, a refrigerator magnet, that read, "Martha Stewart doesn't live here." Now some of you might not know who Martha Stewart is, but she's infamous for home things and making things in the home better and being creative in that way. The next day, this man came home to find a magnet holding up a slip of paper, the very same magnet that he left for her on the refrigerator. The note read, "Neither does Bob Villa." Now, if you don't know who Bob Villa is, he's like a home improvement kind of guy, right? A fix-it, guy. He has his honey-do list, right? Now, that may have been meant as good-humored fun, but there are homes where those kinds of comments are not meant for good. Not meant to be happy, smiling, fun comments. They're intended, in fact, to be offensive. They're meant to hurt or to cause pain. And sometimes, even if they're not intended to be that way, they cause pain anyway. Even in the best of homes, there are occasional harsh words that result in hard feelings. Why? Why would this happen? Why would we allow it to happen in our homes? Well, there could be any number of reasons, aside from the fact that we're human beings. But one of the most basic reasons there are harsh words and harsh feelings in a home is there's a lack of thanksgiving. There's a lack of thankfulness. There's a lack of appreciation being shared. When parents or children forget the blessing that their wife, their husband, their child, their parent, their aunt, their uncle, their grandma, their grandpa actually is to them, sometimes there's no balance. It's important for us to share appreciation. One young college woman supposedly wrote this to her mother. I actually had to take a couple things out because I didn't feel they're appropriate. "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken, and I'm in a lot of pain. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky, but I lost all of my stuff because it all burned or got smoked up. And a young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department, though fortunate for us. They were there in minutes, though I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every single day to see how I was doing. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. Oh, he's been so nice. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he gets a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine. Don't worry about me. I will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. Kids, don't do that to your parents. Make thankfulness a part of your basic reality. Number three, make a choice. Sometimes it might just be as simple as making the decision to be thankful. Again, I get it. We live in a real world. But let's choose to be thankful. A woman was overheard telling a friend about her husband, and it was clear the wife was not happy. According to her, her husband was hard to get along with. He was unreasonable. He was irresponsible. From her description, it appeared that he was somewhere between being Hagar the Horrible and Dennis the Menace. It was fairly obvious from hearing her talk that she was not thankful for her husband. Why are we just so negative? Maybe one reason is negative comments are often the way people try to modify someone else's behavior. A negative modification principle, a negative behavioral action. Parents put their kids down. Wives insult their husbands. Husbands speak harshly to their wives. Why? Because perhaps some believe that this is the best way to make our displeasure known and change the behavior of those they are upset from. When we complain to others, that is simply our way of trying to enlist support. It's our way of trying to get other people onto our bandwagon so we have extra help in bringing about the change we desire, but we approach it from a negative construct. Another, most of us are just naturally critical by nature. In fact, James 3, 9 and 10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. With the same mouth we praise God, and yet we still speak disrespectfully about others." In other words, God knows we haven't consciously made critical comments. He knows we have a tendency to be critical or have a critical spirit. And so he commands us, remember our key text, whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. God knows that we tend to be even sometimes unconsciously critical of those around us. And so he commands us to consciously be thankful for all things. Make the choice to be thankful. Another, how do we develop a thankful spirit in our home, we might ask. It's especially important in our homes because, as the expert we quoted earlier noted, a healthy home, a strong home, has an atmosphere where we compliment more than criticize, where we share appreciation and thankfulness. The rhetorical question this morning for us would be, what's in your wallet? How are you doing to balance the criticism? What if my family or family members don't deserve my being grateful for them? What if my husband, my wife, my child, my mom, my dad aren't as perfect as I'd like them to be? Ooh, that's a dangerous position to hold. A man by the name of Frank Fried had an excellent piece of advice. Folks, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. And the grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. The way to grow a thankful heart is to turn my heart into a garden of thanksgiving. My heart needs to be a place where I plant the seeds of thankfulness and fertilize and water that garden with constant tending. Are we doing that in our homes? Are we doing that as a family? Are we doing that in our relationships? And whatever we do, whatever we do, whether it be in word or deed, do it all. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to pray to God and focus on the things we are thankful for. The things we are thankful for in our spouse, in our children, in our extended families, even in our workplaces or our classrooms, in our church. As I was praying, actually this is so ironic because this just literally happened last night. So I've been developing preparing for the message this morning, and I wasn't talking to Elise about it. I wasn't like, hey, let me tell you what the sermon's going to be about on Sunday. We were praying, do our little nighttime thing, and we were praying. And we started thanking God. And she went on, she's four, and she put me to shame. We just started thanking God, and I started, and I said, thank you, God, for our home, thank you for our food, and she just took off. Oh, to be a four-year-old when talking to God and sharing thankfulness. Thank you, God, for my eyes and my nose, and thank you for my shoes, and thank you for my dolls, and thank you for my friends. And she went on. I sat there as I listened to this truth. I thought, I wish I could just record this all right now. And she just kept going on and on. And I thought, this is the sermon tomorrow. She's just barely learning to read because she's got an awesome teacher. She's sitting right there, right? But she didn't read my notes, I promise you. And I thought, this is it. We can be that simple with God. Thank you, God, for my daughters. Thank you for my son. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for clothes. Thank you, right? Just on and on. It's that perspective of thankfulness and appreciation. If we do that on a regular basis, what might change in our world? Will it change the behavior of my wife? Will it change the behavior of my children? Will it change the behavior of our grandparents and uncles and aunts and list who you will? Will it change them? I don't know. But I don't know that it won't either. Maybe in the least, this could be our social experiment. Maybe we could see what happens. Maybe we can see what happens in our world, in our church, in our workplace, in our classes, in our schools, in our families. Who knows? Maybe it will change people. Who knows? Maybe it will change us. Maybe it will promote better behavior as opposed to coming at it from a critical position or a negative position. The saying goes, you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. How many of you have heard that before? You can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. A preacher told of encountering a woman who worked at the post office who was just simply hard to get along with. She was condescending and rude, and even if he was nice to her, she was still short in return. At first, he was tempted to complain about her treatment toward him, both to her and to her superiors, but he decided to take a different approach. He made a choice to try something different. From that day forward, every time he had to go and face her, every time he had to go conduct his business there, he repeatedly complimented her and thanked her for anything he could think of. And after a few weeks, he noticed that she started to change. She actually started to smile when he approached. She'd actually find ways to help him do what he was there to do that he really didn't need the help with, but she helped him anyway. He noticed that his attitude of gratitude changed her heart, and it changed her behavior. But what if that other person doesn't change, we might argue? What if they still behave badly and irritate you? Do you get a pass? Do you get a free ride? Do you get a, you know, what's the Monopoly thing? Get out of jail pass? Or, you know, where's the thing where you land on go and you get more money, right? Yeah, we don't get those, right? At least I've not found that in the Bible. And in fact, if we go back to our key verses, 15 through 17, Colossians 3, right? It doesn't have a qualifier there. So, I'm sorry. Right? We don't get the free pass, no. It doesn't matter what the results may be in the lives of those around us. We don't have the disclaimer. for exemption. God still commands that we, you and me, be people of thanksgiving. It's worth noting that even if we can't alter the behavior of others by our gratitude, this attitude can still have a powerful benefit in our own lives. And isn't that in and of itself worth it? Wouldn't that just be enough? While it might not change those around us, it just might change us. And I think that would be enough. Missionary Benjamin Weir was held hostage in Lebanon, imprisoned under miserable conditions for 16 months. In his first interview after his release, he was asked how he spent his time and how he dealt with the boredom and the despair. His answer stunned the reporters. He simply said this, and I quote, "Counting my blessings. Counting my blessings." "Blessings," they responded. "Yes," he explained. "Some days I got to take a shower. Sometimes there were some vegetables in my food. I could always be thankful for the love of my family." Benjamin Weir discovered the power to overcome his circumstances by learning thankfulness. He was physically in bondage, but spiritually and mentally, he was free. Why? Because he had learned to give thanks to the Father, even in the harshest of circumstances. The point is this: what if we, Soul Union Church, guests, visitors, family, what if we decided to be a people of thankfulness in our homes, with our wives and our husbands, our children, our parents, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents? What about in our classrooms? What about in our workplaces? What if we were to run the social experiment starting today? What if we did that? Is it something that we can do between now and even American Thanksgiving? Let's run through Canadian Thanksgiving and run up to American Thanksgiving. And in slightly over a month, what might change in you, in me, in others? Would some accept that social experiment and say, "I'm in. I'm in. I want to make the choice to be thankful. I'm not wanting to embarrass anybody. No manipulation, no coercion. But if you're comfortable to signify by raising your hand, I want to know who's in to conduct a social experiment. For the next month and a couple weeks, who's with me? Who's in? Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in this church. Let's see what happens in our schools. Let's see what happens in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our friendships." Yeah.